بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last Sunday we were having a discussion, we were having a program, Lessons from the Hijrah, and on the Sunday we were having a discussion. And in that discussion, some of the more veteran members of our community were discussing the state of the Muslim community 30, 40 years ago. And one of the things that was mentioned was in a city like Toronto, which mashallah now is booming with Muslims, there was only one masjid or two masajid. And there were, maybe there was only one store where halal meat was available, and so on and so forth. And also there's a mention which I found interesting, was there was only one brand of bread which was halal, the rest all had lard in them. Or there was one brand of cookies that were halal and people would only eat those. So mashallah, today we look at the community and the growth has been phenomenal. Recent numbers have been out and predictions have been made. Currently, we have approximately 1 million Muslims in Canada, and by 2030, there will be at 2.7 million. So the numbers are expected to rise, inshallah. And, it's a great opportunity for us for introspection, to look at ourselves, to look at our communities, and see what type of growth are we having apart from just numbers and halal meat stores and restaurants. But really, are we living up to our duties and our responsibilities as Muslims? So when you look around, mashallah, especially in the larger cities, we have a number of masajid, there's huge conferences, up to 20,000 Muslims in one place, which would have been inconceivable back then. You'd be happy to see one Muslim, right? Let alone 20,000, it would be impossible. But now, 20,000 Muslims gathering in Canada for conferences and events. So we see there's a lot of positives. But on the other hand, we have to ask ourselves, we are doing all of these things and we're involved in these activities and services that benefit us. But when it comes to benefiting others, where are we? So are we, for example, at the food bank helping out? Are we serving food to the needy? Are we the ones who are running shelters and are volunteering for all the community services that are essential for any healthy society in any healthy community? The answer probably is either no or perhaps not as much as we should be doing. Now, the one point I want to focus on today is the taking care of the needy. And taking care of the needy is not something that is an essential part of becoming a complete believer, but rather, having the concern for taking care of the needy is also a part of that equation. So not just making sure that we do our part, but having that concern and encouraging others is also a very important part of our faith, and perhaps not one that we talk about often enough. When we look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the city of Mecca, and he is frequenting the cave of Hira. He's going there, and he has the encounter, the very first encounter with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And when he has that encounter and when he has the first verses of the Quran revealed to him, he is afraid, he's worried, and he runs to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And what does she tell him? She says, Allah will never disgrace you. And why will Allah never disgrace you? Now she doesn't know that he's a prophet at that time, right? She doesn't know that. But she says, Allah will never disgrace you because you unite your relatives and you bear the burden of the weak of our society. You help the poor and the needy. You are honorable to all guests and you bear harm in the path of truthfulness. So even before being given the prophethood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made that his mission. That's who he was. He didn't have to go out of his way to think about these things and to talk about it and to do it. That's who he was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the type of person who would help the needy, who would help those who needed help. He would be the one who would bear the burden of the weak, and he would be honorable to all of his guests. This was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who obviously is the model believer, right? So he's the role model for us all. And this was the case before the call to Islam, and of course it continued afterwards as well. Now what's interesting is, you know, as if that wasn't enough for us as a signal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has coupled disbelief in him with not feeding the needy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has coupled disbelief with not feeding the needy. In Surah Al-Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a dialogue or a type of interview that the people of Jannah are doing with the people of Jahannam. And they ask them, مَا صَلَقَكُمْ فِي سَقَرُ. So what has caused you to enter hellfire? Why are you here? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And they will say that we were not of those who used to offer salah. So that comes first. And the second thing that they mention, nor did we used to feed the miskeen, the poor, the destitute. And there are some other reasons as well that they mention after that. Surah Al-Haqqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the person who gets his book in his left hand. And when the person gets their book on the Day of Judgment in their left hand, that person is in despair, is crying now, and the person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions why they have received the book in the left hand. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah says, indeed, he did not used to believe in Allah, the Most Great. And what's the second thing? وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Nor did he encourage the feeding of the poor. So if we notice, it's just not that they didn't feed the needy. It's rather, they didn't encourage that either. Right? So they didn't encourage the feeding of the needy. Now the beauty of Islam, the beauty of our religion is that it teaches us to be well-rounded. It teaches us to be well-rounded, to be balanced. Right? So the acts of worship, the obligatory acts of worship, are five times salah, zakah, sawm, hajj, so on. Those we have to do. Right? There's no question about that. But the deen also tells us, it also tells us that yes, you struggle in Allah's cause when needed. Yes, you make extra prayers at night. Yes, you make extra fasts during the day. But if you do good to serve others, if you do good to serve others, to take care of a widow, for example, or to feed the needy, then that also is just as valuable. And how do we know that? The Prophet ﷺ has said, as reported by Imam Bukhari, anyone who looks after and works for a widow and a poor person is like a warrior fighting for Allah's cause. So anyone who looks after and works for a widow and a poor person is like a warrior who's fighting for Allah's cause, or like a person who fasts during the day and prays all night. So here we see that working for the needy, thinking about it, spending our time, putting our effort towards helping those in need is just as valuable as fighting in Allah's cause, or just as valuable as praying at night and fasting during the day. Now the hands of the Prophet ﷺ was not only there to help people in terms of helping them get by, right? So meal to meal or day to day if somebody came and asked for help. But rather it was also a helping hand which would help others to help themselves. Right? So it wasn't just a helping hand just to offer help. One time you do it and that's it. Rather, it was a helping hand which would help others help themselves. So once a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he begged from the Prophet ﷺ. So he asked him for something. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, he said, have you nothing inside your house? So you have nothing at all, that's why you're coming to ask me. He said, well, yes, you know, there's a piece of cloth, a part of which we wear, and a part of which we spread on the ground. So I have only one piece of cloth that I use to cover myself and to lie down on. And there's a wooden bowl from which we drink water. So this is all I have inside my house. A piece of cloth and a wooden bowl used to drink water. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't say, okay, fine, here's some money. Rather, he said, okay, bring them to me. So the person brings them to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the bowl and the cloth. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does a quick auction. He says, who wants to buy this? And he's offered one dirham. He says, you know, going once, going twice. Well, he didn't even say that, but you know what I mean. And then he said, anyone wants to bid, you know, more for that? And then somebody offered two dirhams. With those two dirhams, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them to the man. And he didn't say, okay, go and now spend it all. Rather, he said, go buy food with one of them. So you do that. You buy food, give it to your family. And with the other, you buy an axe and bring it to me. So with one, you buy food. So you take care of your family's needs. With the other, you go get an axe, bring it to me. So the man brings it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts a handle on it with his own hands. So he affixes a handle. And he says, now go gather firewood. Gather firewood with this axe. Sell it. And don't let me see you for a fortnight. So the man goes. He goes and he cuts wood and he gathers firewood and he sells it. Then when he has earned 10 dirhams, then he comes back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he has bought a garment and some more food now. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not only helped the person, but also guided him out of poverty. And so from all of this, we learn two things. So the first thing that we learn is that we've got to feed the needy, and not only do we need to do that, we also need to encourage that as well, among ourselves, among our families. So alhamdulillah, we have our first ISK volunteer team service day, inshallah, in which we will be doing exactly that. So on Monday, February 21st, which is a long weekend, family day, we will be having our team going to Martha's Table, which is a place that serves food to the needy in a dignified manner. So Monday, February 21st, 2:45 p.m. to 6 p.m. And what we'll be doing is, we won't be cooking because they do the cooking in the morning, but we'll be serving the food to the people who come there to eat, and then we'll be cleaning up afterwards as well. Not only that, but we'll also be supplying the food, inshallah. We'll be supplying the meat. So if anyone wants to help in paying for that as well, you can get in touch with me afterwards, inshallah. And I encourage everyone to participate. We need 10 volunteers, 10 committed volunteers, so please don't say you'll come and then not show up at the last minute. So far, I have 5 confirmations. So there are forms outside. So on your way out, if you can, you know, if you have some time on the 21st and you can spare that time for this worthy cause, please fill out the form outside. Now, I just want to be very clear that the reason we do this, or the reason we do anything else, is not for a PR exercise. Right? We're not doing this to show off, to show people, oh, Muslims are, you know, a part of the community, and you know, we're trying to help out, and we're good people, and so on. Rather, the intention is, we're doing this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do this. We're doing this because this is one of our duties as Muslims. We are doing this because this is the example that has been set for us by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's why we're doing this. And this is part of our very deep Islamic tradition of khidmah, of service to others. And there's a huge difference, believe me, there's a huge difference between, you know, dishing out some cash, you know, or giving it to an organization so they can distribute it to the needy, which is great, I'm not saying it's bad, but there's a huge difference between doing that and between actually going out, sacrificing your time, your effort, your sweat, in actually doing something for people who need it, and then having that human touch, that human contact, and affecting them directly with that. So actually being there, preparing it for service, and then actually dishing it out, giving to the people, is a completely different thing. And what it should do, is that it should bring about humility. And one of the things that serving others does, that it kills pride. What does it do? It kills pride. Because now we all have some amount of pride in our hearts, probably. And by being in front of others, and actually serving them, and basically putting ourselves down in some way, because a lot of times we like to be served, right? We don't like being the ones who are serving others. So by doing that, it actually kills our pride. And not only that, but it also gives us greater appreciation for all the good that we have been blessed with. Now, a lot of times if we get used to our lifestyle, we get used to the way we live, and within our circle, we all, you know, we meet with people who are very similar to us, then a lot of times we lose sight of all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Once we interact with people who are not within our circle, and we interact with people, you know, who may be somewhat less fortunate, then we start realizing all the blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as I said, we need 10 committed volunteers, inshallah. We have 5 so far, so please fill out the form outside. And also, if you can donate some funds for getting the food, let me know afterwards. And also, I'd also encourage everyone to think very creatively. To think creatively of ways of creating jobs and opportunities for those who are less fortunate. Because as we see from the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's exactly what he did, right? He created an opportunity, he guided the person into coming out of poverty. So if you have a business, for example, you know, if you can find ways to give opportunities to those who in need, that's great. And even here at the masjid, at our center, if you can think of ways of how we can use the space we have, or, you know, for example, in the summertime, if we grow a garden, for example, if there's people who can grow a garden who can sell vegetables, or the food can be used for food banks, for the soup kitchens, that could be one idea. And other ideas, just to find ways of how we can really help people, and of course, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen us, put mercy in our hearts, and make us complete believers, those who of course worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also are a mercy to others as well. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.